And welcome back, finally, a brand new episode of United Nerd Reviews, where we talk about what we've been watching, and what we've been watching is Star Wars Acolyte. Joel, is time. Star Wars is back, or it was back. Season one is over, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And for you guys watching live on Twitch and YouTube, that's right, this is our first test into the multi-stream world. I know it's been a very popular thing for like a long time now, but we are finally delving in. So everybody that's watching live on YouTube, hello, welcome to the live streams. Glad that you're here. And of course, everybody watching on Twitch, thank you for being here again, as always. Of course, if you can't watch this live, you can watch this on VOD on YouTube, as well as podcast services. Of course, I am Brian, and along with me is my good buddy Joel. Joel.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello there. So,
that's where the fun begins.
We waited for the whole season to end, and I want to ask you right away, because we've been holding this off for as long as we could. Give me your spoiler-free first take on Star Wars Acolyte.
It's fresh. It's new. Definitely they had it draw out, I think, in a good way. It's a mystery you kind of have to follow along with and wait. It's as far as Star Wars go, very thorough. Even more than the movies, I think, with attention to lore and detail. But I enjoyed it. I think it's a breath of fresh air. Not as disconnected from movies as I would like, but it still does a good job. And but yeah, I mean, with me and Star Wars, I'm easy to please. Like, I got my Bad shirt on, but good. I like it. Again, biased as hell. What about you, Brian? What do you think?
So, going into this, I tried dabbling into the High Republic era when it first started rolling out, and I know a lot of people said the first book was a little bit hard to get into just because there's so much context that they needed to add in to the world, because it was world building. So, you know, I fell out of it. And so for me, I knew that my first opportunity to really get into like the High Republic era was going to be Acolyte. So going into this, I wanted to be surprised in a way that delving into a new era of Star Wars that is virtually untouched up to this point for live action. Because I know there's been a lot of books, there's been a lot of comics, and they started dabbling a little bit into it in Jedi Fallen or Jedi Survivor, I should say. So I was pretty excited to actually see, you know, what the story was going to be about, what these new characters that I haven't been introduced to yet. And for the most part, I enjoyed myself. It felt refreshing not knowing a lot about this era. We're 100 years before the prequels, 100 years before Phantom Menace. There's not that much to attach to as far as like direct references to past Star Wars lore. There is the, you know, the kind of small little bits of Easter eggs for like the, like, you know, the overarching like broad sense of what Star Wars is. But I was very happy to be able to get a fresh new experience, and I enjoyed myself. I know they definitely took the time to make it as authentic as possible as far as filming it goes, because I guess this isn't really a spoiler, but they actually filmed mostly with practical sets, and it shows. It definitely shows that. Like, I know nowadays the idea of the volume is a little bit muddled. You know, sometimes it looks really good, sometimes it looks really depending on how it's used. You know, it's a crapshoot. But like they say, you can't go wrong with practical effects. And they're right, because this show looked fucking great, dude. It looked fantastic.
Great.
But yeah, I could talk more and more and more about it, just like I know you can.
I got notes. That's how I was like, I got to write this before I forget. That's how prepared I was.
But before we get into spoiler territory, I just want to remind everybody watching right now live, this is going to be our Star Wars Acolyte review. We are going to be going to heavy, heavy spoilers. So if you haven't finished Acolyte, I suggest go finish it, come back, see what our opinions are, and then tell us your opinions in the comments. I know there are people in the chat right now. Hello, Ian, welcome. Jameson, welcome. We will try to interact with the chat as we go, but this is our review, so there's going to be a lot of big conversations going on during this time. So we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you being part of the conversation. Yeah. And if you have any opinions, leave them in the chat, and we will get to them throughout the review. But with that being said, this has been your spoiler warning. Oh, no, let's make that bigger. Let's make that spoiler warning a little bigger. There we go. Spoiler warning is in effect. Joel, lay down them notes.
Oh. Let me preface here. Should we do like a reaction really quick? Should I screen cap the, like I said, I was going to do the. Okay. All right. Wait, hold on. I'll have to look. All right. Hold on. Let me get it one more time. There you go. I think that's as close as I'm getting. Okay, so let me preface by saying there's a lot of venom, toxic shit with this. It's really awful. Yeah. People, it's very clear too. I mean, because I'm on Twitter and I click on Star Wars stuff, that people aren't watching this based on the comments. It's like you didn't even try to watch it. You're just here to jump on the hate bandwagon, and we're not gonna do that. There are, you know, probably some issues, but. We're not gonna do that here. So if you were looking for us to shit on it, we're not doing that. But yeah, shit, where do we begin? I think this fucking story is honestly a nerd's love letter to Star Wars and more. Cause there are things they're doing that not only pay tribute to the everything, but it's still intelligent and smart and modern. So I just feel like it's just really well done and fresh too. I know a lot of people want the answers right away, but you kind of have to just go along for the ride. People are like complaining. It's like, we're not even at like the climax. Hold on. I mean, go ahead and shit on it, but wait till we get there at least, right? Like, for sure, whatever. But it's like, we're not even there yet. Like, this internet is going to do what the internet do. But, yeah. Oh my God, this show. I just want to say that the actors, writers, and everything, creator, all that, it just synced up really well. And the intriguing beginning with, you know, Carrie Ann Moss's Master and Dara fighting this supposed acolyte who wants revenge. And she dies. Like, I thought it was going to be a top build actor. We're going to see a lot more. Like, no. She's like a
chest. No, yeah. Because, like, all of the previews and stuff, the little snippets they show, like, was of that scene of who we will find out is Mei going to assassinate Dara. And it's just like... Oh man, this is so cool, because, like, you know, like we were talking about before, how, like, they had the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stunt team doing all the fighting choreography, and, like, you could tell that they were like, okay, Carrie Ann Moss is here, we're doing some Matrix stuff, we're going to just go for it, and it was really cool. Wild that they have one of, like, their top billing actors die in, like, the first 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah,
really surprising. She does come back.
No doubt either.
I mean, but she went out being a Jedi as far as just like protecting the other people. She like willingly got her.
What Jedi should do.
But so we'll see her again in like flashback form. But yeah, she just dies. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, and it's still good choreography with that intro too. They do the good martial arts stuff. Like, she doesn't even pull her lightsaber out right away. It's like, I don't even need it, which I thought was dope. Just showing that she's mastered the, you know, combat, of course. So that was a nice little intro there. Yeah, we might be jumping around a lot. There's just so much to talk about. But what I really enjoyed, and I watched the prequels after this too, because I rewatched episode one recently. We've just been going down it. Nice. It really just affirms that Jedi aren't as good as we think they are, and they're certainly not as smart as they think they are, which I actually like. I think they're grand and flawless, and we just see their faults, and they're, you know, they even kind of touch about it. They're only human, right? At the end of the day.
Ever since the Clone Wars, we've gotten the idea of like, hey, there's a reason why the Jedi fell for Palpatine's trick. Yeah. And it's because a lot of them weren't seeing clearly as they would have, like, decades or eons and eons ago. Like, like, we can just name off a few, like, Pon Krell was a bastard. Yeah,
I was just thinking right away, fucking Pon Krell, fucking asshole.
You could, you know, Dooku, he was a Jedi. You know, he left the Order and then became a Sith. You know, it's.
Yeah.
I could name. Oh. I could look up like so many other like Jedi, in the canon that we have known for decades. Show that, not every Jedi is up to the monolith, that a Jedi should be, and that was the whole point, of Order 66, is that. The Jedi got clouded by their own mythos, you know, like everybody put them on a pedestal, and then the Republic got involved, and then, you know, Palpatine just had a clear runway to Order 66, and that was it.
Playing them all and rewatching Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith. I mean, Attack of the Clones. I was like, damn, these guys are fucking oblivious. Like, it's right there. Fucking Jedi. I mean, it is a betrayal for sure. Like, one of their own definitely gets, you know, throws them under. But it's like, damn, like, the signs are there. It's kind of great, though. But yeah, again, the cast is fucking great. Jae-hee Young, how do you say his name?
Master,
the guy who plays Master Solo. Yeah, he did great. I kept seeing that he learned English just so he could play this role, which I think is amazing. Like, he nailed it, right? He did great.
No, he did a fantastic job.
He played such a good flaw.
You're being lost to the ether.
Oh no, I was talking shit about the Jedi. Look what happens.
The force finds its way.
Yeah, Lee Jung Jae, I think is his name. Okay, so someone right. All right. So anyway, fantastic work. What's the girl's name? Plays Osha, of course. Really fucking like playing two different people, right? That's already hard
doing some Parent Trap shit.
I know. And it was, and I was like, there is a difference. Like, you could just really tell she does great. What's her name too? I'm going to look it up. There's so many things I want to talk to, but for you, Brian, like, what do you want to say before, like, we get even deeper?
Shoot, I don't want to like get into like the deep stuff, but to go off of what you're talking about, Magistan, just like with the, just like the community, right?
Yeah.
It didn't surprise me, right? But I feel like this is a conversation that we need to have. It's not a fun conversation, but it's something that needs to be talked about, you know? Now, we come on here, and we do not lie. We both love Star Wars. We are unapologetic in how much we love Star Wars. Doesn't mean...
I'm trying to blind eye to such all the bad things, too. Like, it could be, like, objectively bad. Like, no, it's fine.
So, like, there's going to be some things in the show that I will be like, and I'll get to those in a bit. But on the whole, it doesn't completely ruin my experience. It just, I don't know. I can understand people not liking the show. That's fine. But there's just some people that have like such the most weirdest outrages. And it's very sad because a few of them are like old school, like Star Wars, like creators that back in the day would have flipped their lid for this shit. But now it feels like they're so deep in the trenches of like the grift that it's just, there's just no pleasing people, you know? And it's just like, I understand that this is a grift and like it does pay to just talk shit about Star Wars because that is a very popular topic to have. It's a very popular opinion to just talk shit about Star Wars all day, every day. But it's just, it gets so tiring because there's the people like us that, yeah, we know there's a good amount of Star Wars that is hokey and sometimes crap. And we'll say when it's crap. But
can't be bad.
I don't want to speak for usual, but I know for me, I'm the type of person that I will admit when things are bad, but then I will point out the things I really like. And overall, I am glad that I got to see something new at Star Wars. Doesn't mean I will go back and rewatch it all the time, every time. No, only a few Star Wars things actually have that staying power with me nowadays that I will go back and just watch it. You know, Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith. You know, we'll sometimes just pop on a few episodes of Clone Wars. It's just random episodes of Clone Wars. I want to go back to Rebels at some point. But, you know, like, will I ever, even though it was really good, will I ever go back to see Andor season one? Maybe at some point, maybe when the season two is about to come out and I'll go back through it. But there are things that I don't cherish as much as other things within the entirety of Star Wars. It doesn't mean I'm going to just be like, that's fucking shit, or like what they did were stupid. Like, there's a lot of stupid things. Trust me, there's a lot of other stupid things in other mediums that are like comics or books or video games that are stupid as fuck. But you don't see me complaining about it all the time, unless if it's very stupid.
Fire in space, Brian. Why aren't you upset about fire in space anyway?
Wait, was that something about Acolyte?
Yeah, people are like, why is there fire in space? Like, come on, it's
Star Wars, those are just y'all. Science nerds. Those are just science nerds.
And then I like how someone screamed out, like, in Return of the Jedi, the fucking Super Star Destroyer catches on fire in Return of the fucking Jedi. Okay.
Hey man.
Or the one where they say hell. They say hell in Empire Strikes Back. And also, I rewatched Solo. They say hell like three times, but nobody watched Solo, so.
You know, which is a travesty, because Solo is a good fucking movie. I don't care what anybody says. Solo is actually a really good movie. Don't let the hate of Last Jedi. Though. Okay, yeah, we're going too off the edge.
Yeah, we're going. We're so imbued.
To complete my point. We have come so far, and yet haven't gone anywhere as far as. I don't want to even say media literacy, but I feel like media literacy is a minor in the whole. Like, I feel like what really annoyed me was the people that complained a shit ton about like episodes 3 and 5. Dude. And I'm just like, bro. Especially with episode 3, because like it was mostly a flashback episode, which surprised me. I wasn't expecting it just to be a full flashback episode. Yeah. But like the amount of hate that episode got, was it the best episode? No. Like, I'd argue it's probably one of the weaker episodes of the season. But it's the type of show, I forget what it's like technically called, like a suspense, like mystery. Kind of like genre.
I know what you're talking about, though. Like, from different perspectives, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Or it's like, people don't realize is that the characters of Osha and Mei are unreliable narrators. They are the main focus. We are seeing the story mostly through their eyes, and it's a story about them being unreliable narrators. They don't know all the information. We don't get all the information until the last episode of the season, when everything starts clicking together.
When they get their information.
So I'm going to just leave that aside for now.
Let's talk about episode 3, actually. And we could jump to 5. I got notes on 5, 7, and 8, but let's talk about episode 3. Why it's controversial or so. I want to talk about it. I want to dive in. Let's see here. Episode 3. Not that episode 3. I did rewatch, which still hits. Or two lines. I was like, why? Who told George it was okay? Okay. But I do like your point, Brian, that Osha and Mei aren't good, reliable storytellers of this. It's like we shouldn't be trusted with the narrative. That kind of goes back to even in the comics, it's like Palpatine telling Anakin how things are be. It's supposed to be. It's like, wait, if Palpatine's telling Anakin this and us this, is he a reliable person, you know, on this narrative? Like, who should we be trusting here to tell the story?
Well, I mean, it's the idea that the Sith are naturally unreliable.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea of the Order of Two is that eventually the apprentice is going to try to betray the master. That's the nature of the dark side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the episode with the coven, right? Where they go and we see them, kind of how they live their life. They're hidden, they're secluded, away from other things. This isn't the episode where they reveal, like, it's a vergence, right? We don't know that yet.
So this is just
the coven, right?
This is the first flashback of like what happened, like on that whole day. We don't get all the information. We know something is going on because I think what was their ritual? It was the ascendance or something like that, or the.
Yeah.
But like you could clue together that something force related is happening here. You know, it's not blatantly said to that extent, but as far as I know, there wasn't any like major details until we get the next flashback episode.
Yeah. I just want to say with this episode, I thought it was just really interesting that we're seeing more of like the magic side of the Force with we've already had this kind of with the Night Sisters and Clone Wars, which I thought was really cool. Like we've only known from us like through the Force, and then you know, we're getting like powers that be. They're calling upon the Force or magic in a different way to empower each other. And we kind of see the dynamic of young Mei and Osha as well. Right. It's just really cool to see like there's more players on the field. Essentially, right? There's Sith, Jedi, and now like the Night Sisters. So
right.
I just glad we went there too. I honestly wasn't expecting that at all. When I first heard about it, I thought it was just gonna be like Jedi and Sith. That's it. So the third is pretty cool.
It's also really cool that they're not Night Sisters. They're just like another coven of witches.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like whenever you talk about witches in Star Wars, it's always kind of like deferred to or referred to as the Night Sisters, or like you think of Night Sisters. So it's cool that we're like getting like, because there's always been other races and other like covens that relate to the Force in different ways. What was that one race in Rebels? It was like, it's one of like the more used like explanations. There was an episode in Rebels where they meet this other, not coven, but it's this race that refers to the Force as something else that's not the Force. And it's kind of like one of those teachable moments for Ezra kind of thing. Like, I don't know. If someone in the chat or someone watching this can put in the comments, please do correct me. But yeah, it's just so interesting because, you know, we get to see their child, like Osha and May's childhood. We get to see this new covenant, you know, seemingly like putting a lot of faith in the two of them for at that point, we don't know why, like they're being treated as like the saviors of this coven of witches. And then of course, you know, we see, you know, Sol and Dara, what was his name? Torbin and,
Kelnaka,
thank you. You know, interrupt the whole process, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of just spirals from there. And it's interesting because it really shows from the beginning that, like, Osha is, like, the one that's obviously more drawn towards the light. And then May's, like, the one more drawn towards the dark side. And it actually, I think they did a really good job of differentiating Mother Anasea and Mother Coril. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Oh, the Zabrak lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She has an interesting part later, too, which I want to bring up. But, yeah, they're definitely, one is more lax than the other, for sure. And I think that's a good duality, too, which the show's all about. Like, rule of two, there has to be two. Like, they're, you know, two sides of the same coin. Just like Osha and May and her, you know, her and Anasea. It's interesting. The duality. Lots of duality.
Right. Also, why the fuck are Zabraks always, like, depicted as, like, evil bastards?
It's the horns, man. It's the horns.
The only time I've ever seen a Zabrak not being evil bastard is in Battlefront. Because you could play as them as the rebel squadron.
Shout out to Beodor and Coder 2, who could possibly be the best or worst, depending on your alignment. Yeah. Ooh, okay. But yeah, and we get that perspective, right, of like the Jedi entering, Sol, you know, detects there's a strength in the Force in Osha. He does like the Jedi test. You know, they're doing the right thing. They're Jedi. And then they, you know, there's a fire because the girls fight. It spreads because that facility isn't fireproof for whatever reason. And then, you know, later he has to choose between the two of them, or, you know, or he just chooses to save Osha, it looks like, there, right? So, and we just see that the witches are, like, obliterated. The fire gets them. You know, there's a lot of parts left out, clearly, but some of them I was like, okay, but then later it goes even further to explain. So
going
again, this perspective is just interesting. But yeah, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead. I know you're trying to say something.
I wanted to go back about the fire thing. I also remember at first being like, that's kind of weird. Like, it's a mostly rock structure. Yeah. But after, like, looking back a few times on episodes, I think it was episode 6 was the next flashback episode. Looking at it, like, a little bit more closely, like, I'm just putting pieces in my head. So this is my theory. So the panel that gets caught on fire, right? I believe how, this is just me making sense of it, that the electrical fire, like, all of the secret hideouts, like, wiring goes back to the main reactor. And so I'm assuming the fire is left unattended. Then it just travels to the reactor, and then that's how everything gets all fucked up.
Star Wars fashion.
I'm not going to say that they did a good job of making that clear, because they didn't.
No.
But that's just my making sense of it after the fact, so take that what you will.
Did you think at this point, Brian, when you saw this episode 3, that the Jedi were 100% like okay here, or did you think there was another thing involved, or did you think it was more the witches kind of meddling around, even though we know who caused the fire? What were your thoughts right now with the Jedi?
I knew something was up, because we go back to episode 2, right? where we find out, like, you know, we know more about Mei. We know that Mei is out killing the Jedi. And when episode 3 comes along, we know that it's the certain Jedi she's going out to kill. It's like, okay, well, there's something there. And even with, like, episode 2 with Torben, Master Torben.
Oh, yeah.
Been in, like, this meditative state for, like, 10 years. And then Osha finds, or not Osha, I'm sorry, Mei finds a way to basically have him commit suicide with drinking the poison. And he kind of felt, and he felt relieved about it. And it's like, okay, well, obviously he feels guilty about something. And it goes back to the idea of the unreliable narrator. There is very obviously missing information in episode 3. Like, with the, you know, how did this random fire start blowing up everything? Like, how did Mei, like, be the one to cause all of this chaos when they were barely able to push back their mother, like, 10 minutes before? Yeah, it just really looked like that it was not all that it seemed. And to, as we go along, as we talk about the other episodes more and more, it becomes very obvious that the team of, like, Sol and them might have done something to cause this from happening, and we find out later.
Yeah, we do.
I wanted to ask you, did you catch on beforehand that the, what are they calling him, the stalker?
Stranger?
Or the stranger was Khmer.
Khmer. Yeah. No. But, you know, people were theorizing it online, and it made a lot of sense. But the first time we see him with the mask talking, I wasn't sure at all. I was like, no, like, it isn't. He's kind of too, you know, he's playful, bumbling kind of idiot. I definitely didn't think at all. But, you know, the next episode or so, he has the helmet that size with the bag. You know, it's like, how is he here and there at the same time? You know, it's like, oh, you know. It's interesting, though, how it's unclear, just like it's unclear to Osha and Mei as well. And even Khmer later is like, you couldn't tell? Like, come on now. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I couldn't at first. You know, me too. So it is interesting. It's like, wait, you know, I kind of had that thought, though, because it's like, how is he feeding these Sith tenants to her or whatever? And how are they able to both go through it? I mean, are they both going through the same test? You know, and, you know, based on our knowledge, yeah. Like, there can't be more than three, you know, definitely, you know, no more than two. So it's just, some things weren't adding up. And I was like, you know, it's definitely suspicion, but I didn't put it together till the episode where they go to, I forgot the name of the planet. But yeah.
Like Forest Planet.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I was like, yeah, that seems super fishy. It's like, he's the only other one here, right? So,
I mean, to his credit, what was the actor's name?
Manny Jacinto.
God damn, dude. What a flip. Because he went from playing like this bumbling fool who was somewhat good at, you know, making gadgets and giving out information, turning into like this fucking cold-blooded killer.
Ice fucking cold. Ice cold.
Like, dude, like the stranger getup, like, I don't care who you are, that is cool. Like, that whole getup is cool. And also the fact that they've brought Cortosis into live action.
Those who don't know, Cortosis is like a, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, you know a little more, is a material used that could like kind of like deal with, it's almost like a Beskar light, you know, but it like deactivates like lightsaber
so
materials, as we saw in the show.
So Cortosis,
clarify for me if I got it wrong.
So Cortosis has been in a few canon material up at this point. The one I recognize it from was the second Thrawn book, where it's a flashback scene of Thrawn and Anakin going to this foundry where they are mining a lot of cortosis. And the whole plan was that they were going to make battle droids out of it. The real plan was that they were going to use the cortosis to make it into this clone trooper armor so that they would be more effective during Order 66. But Anakin and Thrawn, mostly Anakin, fucking blew up the foundry that had all the cortosis in it. So what cortosis is a material that absorbs a lot of energy. So they think of it kind of like Bishop.
But he could like refract it back essentially.
So cortosis. Cortosis absorbs the energy, and then basically what like for if like a lightsaber would hit it, it would malfunction. As we saw, the only issue is unless it's refinely made, it can be a very brittle metal, as we saw with the helmet breaking and stuff like that. And you had to like patch it up. Now, why it's so cool is because it created this unique form of live action combat that we haven't seen before, where it is very obvious that Kamir is just not giving a fuck about how he's fighting. He's just fighting reckless and ruthless. Like, I could, the coolest image of this entire show is Kamir with the helmet, seeing that a Jedi is going to come swing at him. So he just leans in with his head and then he just fucking starts wailing on him. It's the coolest fucking scene that I've seen in a long time in Star Wars. And I remember like right away when it first happened, like when a lightsaber hit, it would go off. I was just like, that motherfucker has cortosis.
I thought it was Beskar. I didn't know about cortosis till after.
I mean, assume
this motherfucker has Mandalorian armor.
Like, you assume any dark side user has like this radical fucking like helmet or something. It's like, okay, it's like Sith trope. And it's like, no, it's practical. But we find out later in the series that motherfucker is going blind. Or like Kamir is not going blind himself, but when he has the helmet on, it's a sensory deprivation. So that whole time he wasn't really seeing anybody. He was just going off of the Force.
Might be a throwback to Vise, a smart coder too, only uses the Force to see around her. She's blind. Which I have to say, Leslie Headland doing her fucking homework is a big fucking nerd. So even though they were like, we talked about it a while ago. We mentioned it, like they brought someone outside didn't know about Star Wars. Well, they certainly had someone on the inside that fucking knows Star Wars. So there was a fresh perspective brought in, and they did their fucking homework. So because cortosis is like not a big thing until
that's
now,
obscure
like,
as knew fuck. About it,
but I fucking didn't. So it's they did their fucking homework, and yeah, the stranger, or as people called on the internet, Smilo Ren, thanks Twitter, with the helmet, the tubes that smile. People are saying like, I don't know. I don't think so. Apparently that helmet sold out. So yeah, he's pretty fucking cool.
Bro, I thought about it. I thought about it before I saw the price tag.
he's a really good villain for them. And that fight is so, I guess we should just get into episode 5. Is episode 4 where Osha breaks out of like that jail? Are we going further? Do we have any?
I believe so. It's like them getting the planet, and then like May is going to find Count Aka, and then pretty much the ending of episode 4 leads into Kamir arriving as the stranger, and episode 5 just starts off with just they're going for it.
Yeah, with the helmet size bag. but yeah, so far to this point, I'm like, okay, is when's it gonna pop off? And I think the end of the episode, it's like the big like, haha, tune in next week, right? Is that when he like comes down and he does? Yeah, okay, so like there's a bunch of Jedi, like, oh shit,
floats down.
The Sith is here, right? He floats down and he does like the big force wave, spreads the dirt, and it's like, oh, you know, credits roll, like, fuck, bastards. yeah, I mean, it's intriguing. We introduce this cast of characters. For sure, I did not think two of them who were pretty much leads were going to fucking die the next episode in a great, you know, fight, which I'm about to talk about. But yeah, that was a good scene. And then didn't we find Kelnaka dead in 4, which was intriguing, right?
Yeah.
I think we see he has the lightsaber blade. But the I'm just going to say, like, the thing is, like, it was supposed to be May's job to do that, but it's like, oh, she gets there, he's already dead, and she's blamed for it for sure. So that was just some interesting setup. I mean, we know who it is, I think, but go ahead, Brian.
Well, no, because I was just going to say, it's like, yeah, she like goes there, and I will submit to the criticism of how quickly May kind of flips. Like, after finding out that Osha's alive and is telling Kamira, it's like, I don't care what the master says. It's like, I'm going to go find Master Kaunaka and I'm going to turn myself in and I'm going to let them know everything. And it's like, okay, that was a little quick, but I can understand that before knowing that Osha was alive, it was just kind of like a revenge tour for May.
Yeah, yeah.
But now knowing, it's like, okay, there is a second option. Because I can assume that maybe the reason why, like in retrospect now, the reason why May joined Kamir and was like trying to train and like assassinate the Jedi was out of revenge. It wasn't necessarily out of wanted to. She just wanted revenge for losing everything. But now she knows she didn't lose exactly everything. It's like, okay, maybe I can, you know, have a better hand for me. I can have a better hand dealt if I go do this. Was it a little bit rushing out of the blue? Kinda. I personally didn't harp on it too much. Especially because, like, for somebody that's affiliated with the dark side, like, they're going to try to take the best opportunity they can in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of like how I rationalized it a little bit. But I can understand how that's a very like flippant like attitude coming from May.
Now that we're talking about it, it kind of reminds me of Anakin, right? He has options before him before he kills Mace Windu and spares, you know, the Emperor. It's like, oh, you know, he could have not went to that fight. But he did. He could have not cut off Mace Windu's arm, but he did. I'm just having the thought, like, oh, we're kind of like saying that the choices they're making for themselves, right? Because that's like you were saying, the Sith, their best opportunity. And of course, they're not reliable. So,
right.
Interesting. I wonder if they even consider that. But yes, that's 4. There's, I'm sure, more to digest, but 5. This is where we want to go. I'm excited. So, first of all, Asian excellence to Manny Jacinto. Just want to say that. The choreo was fucking killer. When they said they were getting the crew from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, it shows. And this was just episode 5. In episode 8, we have a great moment too, which people are upset about. Anyway, but yeah, it shows. Like they, it looks good. It's fluid. It's believable. And you know, Amir being the stranger, he's like going. He's in it, you know, it's really cool. He's committed the way they're fighting. Oh, man, it's
dude, we got like 2 beheadings in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, and the fucking cold bastard stabs one Jedi, pulls another Jedi, skewers him. I was like, ooh, we haven't seen that. That's fucking dirty.
And
oh,
and man, then and like, it woo! Finishes off with both their heads rolling on the ground.
And no, rule of two, baby, rule of two. I'm gonna keep saying.
I want to spew out like a fun fact that I don't know if you heard about, Joel, but for the production of Acolyte, I keep forgetting her name, the main director for the show.
You're not talking about the creator, right? You're talking about Leslie Headland?
Yes.
She's a creator. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Leslie Headland. She had an interview talking about how she wanted to have the best of both worlds as far as lightsaber combat, because she mentioned how in the sequel series they had the very lightweight lightsabers that were just like the sticks that had like the neon like glow tape on it, and they like did After Effects on it and like showed, because they were able to be very finesse and very kind of like very quick on movements. But then so a fun fact I didn't know about until this interview, but for the sequel series, the reason why the lightsaber combats felt so heavy and sluggish is because they wanted the lightsaber effect to be practical. And so in order to get the lightsabers that light up on stage and on set, the lightsabers had to be heavier. And so that's why a lot of the lightsaber combat felt a lot more slower and a lot more just kind of like not like the other series that we've gotten. And so what she said, she asked the props department to combine the best of both so that they were able to have the lightweight styling of the prequel lightsabers, but then also be able to have the practical light up effects on set like the sequel series. And then that's what we got here. So that was just a fun little fact that I found out this past week.
I honestly feel like there's a scene with Yord, and like it wasn't a practice. It felt like the light was coming from the lightsaber, the way it was just lit around him. I was like, it doesn't look CGI, which I appreciate. It's like, okay, they use like a real light up lightsaber, which, you know, oh, it's a toy, but also like that's cool.
Like I'm sure, like to me, yeah,
yeah. It's like, oh, it's not just CGI, and they put some like yellow light on him post effects or whatever.
Right. So. I'm sure they touched it up like afterwards, but like,
yeah.
You could like after knowing that information, it kind of fits together, and it's like, oh shit, you know, that does kind of make sense for like the differences between the different films and the different shows and whatnot. But like you're saying, the combat just felt so brutal.
So good. So yeah, brutal is a nice way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved all the combat that we saw in this series. Like even just like the small snippets we saw of the other Jedi were really good. I want to get as much kudos as possible for Daphne Keane, who played Jackie.
Oh, hell yeah.
She put in fucking work. I don't know if you... Maybe. I don't know if you saw, but there was training videos of her like practicing the combat for this episode, and goddamn did she put in the work to make it look fucking good. Like, yeah, she played a Padawan, but she played a Padawan of Soul, who himself did a fucking fantastic job. So being able to see her do work.
You mentioned that. It reminded me, like, someone said, I forgot who, I agreed with them, but it's like, if she would have beat Khmer there, she would have been a Jedi Knight. She was already like pretty much there with their training. So yeah, she that choreo was good. And I just want to point out really quick that, you know, the Jedi were fighting, I think, to disarm, or not disarm, to defeat, or sorry, the Jedi were fighting the stranger to subdue him. Whereas I feel like Khmer was fighting the Jedi to disable them. Like, it was just smart. He's like destroying their lightsabers with a kurtosis. We haven't seen that before. We've seen lightsabers, you know, they go for limb chopping and stuff, but not like literally destroying the weapon they literally identify with, you know? So it feels super smart and different, you know?
Well, also think about it. At this point in time, the Jedi haven't seen a Sith in centuries.
Yeah.
Ever since the Old Republic, they haven't seen a Sith. So this crop of Jedi have no idea what it's like to fight against somebody like that. They've trained to, you know, fight defensively and to apprehend, you know, bad guys, but they're not like force using dark side lightsaber wielding bad guys. They are they have no idea how to fight this guy. And it shows when, you know, all but Soul gets fucking murked.
Yeah. And
by the end of it,
it's really cool because we get like, which we don't see too often, is the dual fucking lightsaber. I was so fucking hyped when I saw Jackie and whoever dual wielding. I was like, yes, fucking finally. Like
that little snippet of Jackie pulling out Cal Nauka's lightsaber while hers was like disabled, and it just pops open like in the underhand stance, and she was like, fuck yeah.
And then of course, rule of two, literally, she has two, Khmer defeats her because his breaks apart and has two. Oh,
good reveal. It's a little like Shoto, like small dagger lightsaber.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude, that scene was so brutal. Like her, like just rushing in, tink, sing, sing, sing. It's like fucking just three stabs, done.
I was like, damn, they killed X-23. Oh, dude, and Yord too. He's like with arms wide open, and he's like, nah. He just fucking. Ooh, I was like, what? Really? I did not expect that.
I want to ask you your opinion. What's more brutal, Khmer snapping Yord's neck, or Vader force snapping that one kid's neck in Obi-Wan?
I don't know. I forgot about the kid. Shit. Oh.
Yeah, you forgot about that.
I feel like Khmer, he is being attacked, but he is playing with it, right? He's like, he knows it's bad. He knows. But Vader is literally killing child. You know? It's
like walking down this, like, main like street of like this village, this fucking just teenager just fucking dies.
I want to say because I think I attribute Vader to just like he has no remorse until literally seconds from death. So
we've got more like neck snaps in the Disney era than we've ever had in Star Wars.
But so it's. This is like the explosion I was fucking waiting for, you know. It was really good. I mean, I was blown away. I was like, wow. Like we're gonna get a lightsaber fight. Yeah, we did, and more. And then later, it's Khmer and Soul straight up just melee, straight punching each other, kicks and blah. Oh, that was well choreographed too. And I have to say, I fucking hate it in games when you're the Jedi and you have to fight like bug creatures or animals, and that fucking happened. It kind of made me laugh. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, even no matter what, Jedi Sith always got to deal with the wildlife. It's true. And that's a part of them. You know, they resonate with the wildlife, or they're keen on what's going around with them. So, and of course he fucking slaughters all of them. Of course he fucking is. And MVP is Basil. Just want to say,
dude, Basil. That little guy, that little guy, saving the day multiple times.
A little bit of a narc, but yeah, good guy.
Hey man, he smelled trouble and he did what he thought was right.
He was hired by the Jedi to do his job, and he did. But yeah, Episode 5 was that was something.
I would watch that fight over and over again.
Yeah, we watched it like twice. Sarah was out of town, then she came back, then we watched it together. We watched it separately, and we watched it like via, like we synced it up, and then we were like, all right, we're gonna watch it again together. So, oh man, dude, and this episode will definitely be like a fan favorite. And the art, I gotta say, for this show is blowing up. Oh my god, some people, their vision and their art, it's just like, thank you, you guys are capturing shit in ways I could never see, and it's beautiful. Keep making Acolyte art, especially for Episode 5, 7, and 8, please. Oh, man.
I want to touch on the interesting kind of position that Khmer is in for this series, because he's positioned as, like, the dark side person, but we get the feeling that he is not the dark side person. Like, because what he said, like, it's like, when Soul asked him who he was, and it's like, It's like, I don't really have a name, but I guess to what Jedi would consider me is a Sith. And so it's like, he doesn't consider himself a Sith. Like, he knows he uses the dark side, but when we watch episode six? That we get a lot of time with Kamir and Osha.
Oh, yeah, we do. we do.
But, like, the way that he's talking...
The Corrupt episode is what it's called.
Yeah. But the way he's talking about the dark side makes it, from his perspective, just makes it seem more even or more, you know, balanced in a sense. Or his perception of the dark side is more balanced than the way of Jedi. And it makes me wonder if that is how he perceives it to be, or if it's what Osha is starting to see. Because this is the point where we kind of start getting the flip of Osha and Mei, where now Osha is starting to get more kind of like introduced to the dark side. So it makes me wonder if this show is supposed to be from the perspective of Osha and Mei. Is this the moment where Osha starts feeling more connected to the dark side, because we're getting a more whimsical version of the dark side from Kamir?
It's interesting. I didn't think about it like that.
I mean,
especially since she had her Jedi training, and now she's seeing like the flip side of like another Force wielder.
Because we even get the Luke moment with the helmet, because like, oh, this is a sensory deprivation helmet. You know, you put this on, you'll get in tuned with the Force. It's like, but it's not the light side of the Force. It's whatever the Force is reaching out to you.
Oh, dude, when aside from like the building sexual tension and the will they, won't they, of the great cave scene and cooking, and even like him pushing her, you know, her pushing him against the wall, the lightsaber ignited. Great moment. I just want to say, when she puts on the helmet and like pretty much almost like takes over his mind, that was dope. Like, she's reaching into powers she can't control. You know, that was,
yeah,
that was pretty wild. But I just want to say, before I forget, I know I'm jumping ahead a lot, but just the ending, it's just the helmet and you just hear the breathing. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, the Vader style breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, like, at the end of the last episode when they switch, I was like, man, no one's going to fall for that. And then they do. The Jedi are just so...
I will give...
Not all the time, but...
I will give Sol some credit. He was in a panic at the time. Yeah, but he did notice eventually that it's like, you're not Osha.
Yeah.
But dude, no.
I like how extra she was with cutting her hair too. I was like, oh, that's thick. Ding. That was one way to do it. Boom.
No, bro, and fucking Mei reprogramming.
Oh, the droid. Oh, I was fucked up.
What's the droid's name?
Pip? I think it's Pip.
Yeah, like forcibly reprogramming Pip so he doesn't give her away. That's so fucking messed up.
And it's cool, of course, you know, again, rule of two. It went from light to dark, literally blue light to red. It's like, oh, man. And, ooh, the nice little force healing touch, right? Like, ooh, nice. That was like, I have the power to stop. Save anyone from death. I was like, oh shit.
Which makes me wonder if like the healing force was so like foreign at the time.
I'm not sure. Because honestly, we don't even see that in other games, really. It's always Bacta or something. Literally, only Coder I've seen in recent memory. Or, you know, maybe Yoda and Battlefront. You know what I mean? He's old and wise. You don't really heal with the Force, you know?
It's, or at least like a dark side person means healing with the Force.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just cool, like, oh, Not many people have this skill until way later, right? We got at the end, they know it. And then, well, I mean, Mandalorian too. But then here at the beginning of, like, or farther beginning, right? So it that was a cool, like, who has the power to heal here?
The people in the comments, let us know if we're totally wrong on that. Because I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I only claim to know a lot about Star Wars. But I think I do. But also, I think I should rewatch episode 6. I know we'll get to it, but I wonder if we should notice if there's more areas of someone else living there. I, of course, didn't have that thought, right? We'll get into that later. But now that I know, I'm like, oh, are there some big cracks in the wall? Is there an extra chair I didn't see? You know, I next time, I whenever I do, I'm going to really pay attention to the inside of that fucking cave.
So what I think is interesting that in the Plagueis novel, one of his like hideout places is a cave that has a big chunk of Cortosis in it. And so I didn't know this at the time, but like when they're sitting at like Khmer's like workbench and stuff, there's that just big slag of just Cortosis sticking out of the cave wall. But then after we see a little, you know, a hand kind of popping out there. This is a spoiler review. Motherfucker, they introduce Darth Plagueis in the cuts, in the background, no pomp and circumstance. He's fucking just there.
I can't wait to watch that.
We'll talk more about that. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that. You know, apart from people maybe theorizing, I was like, oh, shit. I had a thought. I will get to it later. But anyway, yeah, episode 6 was some interesting, cool buildup. And then we see, you know, Sol figuring out that, you know, May is Osha and Osha's May. And then he's going to literally tell her what actually happened on Brennock. That's the name of the planet, I remember. Right. Like, what actually went down. And it's just interesting. Of course, Basil, you know, shout out to Basil saving Sol, you know, and telling him what happened. So
my question was, yeah, Basil saving Sol, or was Basil being like, Sol, you're going off the deep end, bruh. He just slow down. Was Basil saving Basil? I mean, yeah. I'm not arguing either way.
I don't know. There's a lot of bad choices made by humans. That's what this show should be called. Bad choices. But it's very entertaining. Again, Basil's MVP. Until he fights Darth Plagueis. I don't know. Unless he's got some Yoda action going on. A good just fleshing out of like the stranger's interaction and Sol's interaction. And again, I'm going to keep saying it. Rule of two. A master and an apprentice. Two different sides. Rule of two. This whole fucking show. It's rule of two all over the place. I mean, with Basil too. He's there, I guess. And some creepy Sith Lord hiding in the corner somewhere. But you know what I mean. Okay, mm-hmm. So, episode 7 though. Any more thoughts on 6 before we jump? We're just gonna go straight into the next two.
Let's just go.
Weave in. So, episode 7 with the flashback. 16 years ago, they start talking about harvesting and the virgins. Someone pointed out, Sol is literally harvesting moss. He's carrying moss. Carrie Ann Moss. I was like, anyway. But yeah, they're talking about, I know, the virgins, and that did remind me of like the Force virgins in Clone Wars with the father and the other two. I forgot them, like
the daughter and the brother.
Yeah, the daughter and the brother. And it's like, oh, wait, that's a virgins, right? And so I was like, oh, shit, we didn't get anything from them. But it's just interesting. They notice that there's like a huge Force concentration. I think they dropped midichlorians there on that planet. And we just kind of see like what they're doing. They're like, oh, we're just exploring and whatever. No one's supposed to live here. And then they're kind of not minding their own business, as, you know, some Jedi do. I could think of one with the green lightsaber who dies. But and then they, you know, they find, you know, Sol's wandering around. He finds Mayan Osha, you know, from the other perspective. We saw him kind of hanging out by that tree. So
that was cool.
You know, the poison used to kill Torben, right, only on that planet. It's like, and then he follows him, weirdo. And then they go back to the coven, and they essentially break in. They don't exactly It's like, hey, let us in. It's like, we're going to just find our way in. Very colonizer.
It's like, hey, Jedi here. I will say it was really interesting to be able to see from their perspective, because the scene when they're confronting the coven about Osha and Mei, and then Mother Anasea basically takes control of Torben. Actually see what that process is like, and she's literally just delving into his mind and like digging in on like that little bit of like, I wouldn't say insecurity, but that little bit of like, because the whole point is like Torben wanted to go home. Torben is tired. Torben was tired of doing fucking plant research on this uninhabited planet and wanted to go home. And it kind of, she kind of exacerbated the inkling of, you know, him wanting to go home. But I just thought that was really cool being able to see it from that perspective.
Oh, yeah. And it comes up later. He's like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Like, then why did you come? I mean, like,
gets more antsy.
Yeah, and playing on his weakness and his insecurity. I just want to say again, I don't know if we noticed before, I wrote it down, with the tree there by, and so, you know, the Rule of Two again, there's like those two like moths again. God damn, they're just sticking in Rule of Two everywhere. But yeah, what I kept noticing, and my wife kept pointing out to me, they keep playing the Kylo Ren motif with certain dark side moments. Dun, 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 dun. It's super subtle. I didn't even catch it the first few times. It's a nice little touch, though.
It's a nice touch. Actually, it takes me back real quick. The how much on purpose they use the Kylo Ren motif gives me two ideas. One is because Kylo Ren was never a Sith, so it makes sense to use it because Kamir's not a Sith, technically.
Yeah.
The second one that got me thinking, and I saw some people have the same idea, was that could Kamir be a precursor to what would become the Knights of Ren?
I've seen a lot of that, too. I don't know if they're adorned in Kartos's armor, but it certainly could be a...
I mean, we never found out a lot about them.
Oh, yeah, I know. Now, that's one of my problems with the sequel, as much as I love that. Okay, anyway. But yeah, it's just cool we get that, like, oh, nice little thought about, you know, connection to the future, not only with Plagueis and all those, you know. And, you know, they're talking about how important Osha and Mei are. Their convergence in the Force. How are they made? Were they made by the Force? I like how we don't... It's not clear. That's what I like. We don't know. Just like You Know Who, in Balance of the Force, how the fuck was he made? Shmi doesn't want to talk about it. In the comics, Palpatine says he did it. Unreliable narrators. It's just... I'm okay not knowing. It gives you, like... It gives us shit to talk about. It makes it interesting.
I like thinking that Anakin was the Force's work.
I've heard because, that too.
Because it kind of fulfills the prophecy of the Chosen One, where it's like, it's literally the Force being like, too much is going on, we need to fix this now. And then so, boom, Anakin is born and created.
Just like, it offsetting the Emperor. They do it again with these two others, the Dyad and the Force. Rule of Two!
Anyway. Well, I mean, because I think someone pointed out it's a little bit different in the sense because they weren't necessarily born from the Force. It was more like Mother Anasea was like controlling that vergence to create. But it's interesting because they do point out the fact that they are both identical completely, which is which is weird. So hopefully maybe if, you know, fingers crossed, they get a season two, they can go into more of like why that is.
Hopefully. I just want to point out too that even though we see it from one side, like Anasea's possibly fucking with Torben. I just had this thought, like, they're literally invading. Like, you're on my turf. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Oh, yeah, no,
like,
yeah.
Jedi just kind of, yeah. It's like, they're totally at the right. It's kind of not right in the beginning, but the more we go further, see what the Jedi is like, man, fuck them. You know, they're being assholes.
And to bring up, like, before that, when Indara was like, hey, I know that you, like, you're not you're not cut out to have an apprentice. The council is never going to give you an apprentice just because of who you, like how you act. And that feeds onto his insecurity of like, if I could just take these two away, I can have an apprentice. I can save you them. You can have
two. Yeah. People not listening to higher ups also, or sorry, not higher ups, I should say, mentors not listening, a few of them. But yeah, I just think it's interesting. Someone pointed out, and I had to agree and follow up. There's a lot of mistakes kind of from both sides leading to this big fucking, you know, the explosion, the fire. It's just a lot of errors. And I think that's part of it too. Like, nobody's perfect. And this is how, it's not pretty how it happens. It's not even like even justified. It just kind of happens because everyone's fucking up. And, you know, it's kind of nice in a tragic, perfectly tragic, flawed way, right? It's not like it just happens, you know? It's literally like there's misunderstandings. People are breaking in. Lack of understanding culture, right, with Sol and the Jedi, with the coven. Acting on emotions, Sol, Torben, you know? Even Anasea's... the Zabrak lady, who I forgot the name of, she mishears Anasea. She's like, they're gonna take it from us, as opposed to, you know, they might do something. You know, she acts on it. She heard what wanted to hear.
Oh yeah, Mother Corell was just like, fuck these bitches.
Yeah, and Anasea was like, we can negotiate, and Corell's like, nah, fuck them. You know, and
it was so sad. We're like, after Sol just like stabs Mother Anasea, and she was like, I was gonna let her go.
Yeah,
and then you could tell like Sol's at that moment. Sol's like, I fucked up. Yeah, and it's like, shit.
But there is the remorse. But I mean, it was a truly awful thing he did. But and then also like this is the issue. They even point out later the Jedi don't embrace their feelings. They're not facing themselves, and it leads to shit like this. And Sol's, you know, emotional attachment to Osha fucking ruins this whole fucking coven and scars him and Dara, Kel Naka, Torben, and leads them to their death ultimately.
Kel Naka didn't deserve any of this, dude.
No, he's just doing his fucking job. But by association, shit just happens with, you know, fucking, unfortunately.
He fucking goes there to try to wrangle in Sol and Torben, and then he just gets possessed by a witch. Almost kills Torben.
Oh man. And I put down the Night Sister transformation again. It's looking really cool, but of course Sol interrupts it. It's if Anasea pulled it off, I'm just wondering what the fuck would have happened. Ah, we'll never know.
You know what's sad? Maybe we'll see another side of it. What? My personal opinion, she was doing that just to make a beeline for May. Or to make a beeline for their bedroom, because they like she knows that Osha was like trapped there.
Yeah.
But of course Sol took it as like she's going to attack.
Yeah.
Like no. And no.
Speaking of, you know, they brought along a Wookiee and he gets fucking dominated. That was sick. You're fighting not only fighting a Wookiee, you're fighting a fucking Wookiee Jedi. That's fucking terrifying, honestly. Like he is stronger than everyone there. Like baseline, not even Jedi, you know. And then he's souped up on force powers, knows how to use a lightsaber. And I was super disappointed, not gonna lie. I was like, oh, he's dead, fuck. And then it's like, oh no, he's not. Like the flashback, he is very much alive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's man. I mean, Indara is able to free Kel Naka, and I kind of wrote this down, but it felt like, in doing so, because she purged the Night Sisters from his mind, she essentially kills the Night Sisters because they are like part of him. I felt
all those Night Sisters drop dead. All those witches dropped dead, dude.
They were like all a part of Kilnaka, and then she ripped that out. They were dead. They were ripped from life.
Which was interesting because I kind of missed it in a sense because I was like, okay, well, Coryl, like at least episode three, like we don't know what happened to her. She kind of just like fucked off. And yeah, it's like, did she take like her loyal like followers and just like fucked off and like went somewhere? Or are they involved with like this whole revenge plot? Where it's like, no, they tried to take over Kalnaka, and then Indara was just like, beep.
Yeah, force kill.
chain reaction, multi-kill team wipe.
No wonder she doesn't want to use her lightsaber of the force to fight fucking Mei. Shit. Like, she's gonna kill the whole bar. But yeah. And then later we see, you know, the Night Sisters are dead. Thul chooses between the two. They go forward with the lie of, you know, fucking, it was a fire. They didn't cause it. They were trying to rescue the girls. It went to shit. And I wrote down, like, it's just Jedi weakness. This going forward with the lie, the sign of the Jedi weakness leads the way to clouded judgment, right? And maybe clouding of minds, which, of course, you know, will weaken the Jedi far later in the future, which I think they hint at as well. So it's tragic and epic all in one. Like, we got, like, a triumphant fight, right, in previously episode 5. And then we come here, and it's just a shit storm. And it's like, damn. Like, it's just mistake. Like I said, mistake piling up and explodes. And more people dead than they need to be because of someone just not facing themselves, essentially. It's great, though. Like, just seeing it unfold, it's like, oh! It's, like, watching it unfold, it's like, fuck. Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. It's... This is a real tragedy, you know, because people, like, wonder, it's like, well, how did they not know that, okay, Ki-Adi Mundi, we already know he doesn't know anything.
He's a fucking idiot.
He's a big dummy. So, no shit.
That big brain don't have space. Or big head. It isn't a brain in there.
So, no shit. He doesn't understand the fact. But it's because they're keeping it a secret. And so, if anything, you can tell that this is one of, like, the first instances that the, like, how the Jedi Order gets to where they go. And we'll talk about it more when we kind of talk about the last episode. But you can tell, like, this is one of, not the key situation, but this is a situation in the history of the Jedi where they're keeping secrets from each other because they don't want the Republic to find out. Because they're afraid that they're going to lose their autonomy if the Republic finds out and bogs down on them. And it's kind of ironic looking at this, knowing where they're going to be 100 years from now, where that is the case and that is the situation. It's just interesting.
Palpatine says they're afraid to lose power later.
I mean, they're afraid to lose power like 100 years ago, so it tracks.
When a broken clock is right. I mean, still broken, but... episode ends with Victoria Monet's song about the power of two, rule of two. Just want to say, that's the theme, duality, keeps going. Someone made this post. I remember to cite them. Shout out to Danny's394. Two mothers making the most sense and people not listening to them.
Bum, bum, bum,
we didn't listen to mom and look what happened. That's literally the series at this point. Oh man. And then we're just gonna see how it all unfolds after that. You know, we all are caught up now. We're just like Mei and Osha, and then it's called, I don't know if they actually revealed the title, but when it first came out, it was just called Episode 8.
So oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, if it's changed now, when I first clicked on it, didn't have a title, so.
I'm actually going to look that up right now.
That was interesting. Wonder if they changed it now that it's been out. Yeah, so here we are. Jedi, lots of Jedi dead, Coven dead, Bane Osha switching sides and kind of like actually like adhering to it too, you know? Well, I mean, yeah, and then we're gonna see some interesting stuff. What did I put? I put like the important notes first out of order, but so.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so episode 8 is called The Acolyte.
Bum-bum. I wonder if it was an error on my Xbox. Anyway, we got a lot going on. We kind of talked about the Darth Plagueis reveal, but for me, yes, it was spoiled for me, which I hate. Everyone's got to fucking post it like immediately. That's my bad for checking Twitter too. I should know better, but still, it made the moment like, oh shit. Like, I didn't know the context, but looking back, it's like, oh, this guy's like spying on them. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a little. He's hanging out. Kind of fun. Someone did artwork of like them two holding hands. And
what's
him, like,
what's his race of, called? Like, the Moons or something like that.
A fucking creeper. But I just want to say again, we get the Soul versus Khmer, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon choreography, and it's dope. And I don't understand why people don't like it. Like it's they're Jedi. This is what they do. Like if this is like where it makes the most sense that they move this way. Like and people are like that. Yeah, like what do you want? Like, I'm boggled. Like, I don't.
That close quarters fight when they're in like the little walkway town, they're like barely scraping like the sides of like the walkway, and then they like cut through the like side panel.
They float down. Like, that's sick. I digress. Anyway, and again, rule of two: Saul versus Khmer, Mei versus Osha. Boom. Master, apprentice, going at it. Really good choreo. You know, and Soul showing even more chops than we thought he had. He's like, he puts his lightsaber away, stops the throwing lightsabers. It's good stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff. And I think, yeah, it's the fight with Mei and Osha is more hand to hand. See what other notes I got here.
What I really like is like they're slowly starting to show that Osha is not there to like settle the differences. She's there to like beat some ass.
Yeah.
But then on the other turn, Mei is starting to kind of be like, hey, yo, let's not fight. Hold on. And tries to like be crafty and like kind of like get out of the way and like run away.
And I just want to say beforehand, like, the stranger's like, let's, you know, he doesn't hold her against her will to come here either. He's like, I guess we could go. Like, he's definitely playing like a little hard to get, but he's not stopping her directly. He's letting her have a freedom the Jedi wouldn't, which of course works in his favor. I just want to point that out. Yeah, again, rule of two, Diet in the Force, Kylo Ren motifs. But later, I literally gasped. She's holding the lightsaber that's blue, and she's touching the crystal, and it changes to red. Oh my god! Her bleeding into it and changing it. Oh, like, that is so cool. Like,
yeah,
literally in the moment you see her changing the color of the lightsaber. Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. It's so good. Like, we got to see so many new things in live action in this series. And the reveal, like, you know, Mei is kind of like goading Soul into telling the truth, knowing that that Osha is going to hear it. Osha finds out the truth. And then Soul is pretty much just like confessing to Osha and like trying to apologize. And he was going to say, because I love you, but then right before he gets he just like starts to, you know, get that little throat, and then the camera kind of, you know, pans down, and you see Osha's hand just start to fucking lift up, and then of course the lightsaber starts to change, starts to bleed. Oh man,
so good. And you know, he knows he did wrong, and he's even saying, it's okay. Like, I got here, I brought us here, fine. Like,
I did it for you. I did it.
But I'm going to die. I'm going to die now. Oh, man. It's a fucking good moment. And this discourse about, like, how come it wasn't even invented yet? Calm down. Like, it's a cool moment. I don't understand, like, it's a cool moment. Someone's like, but wait. Like, hold on. Just go for the ride first.
But I can defend why I can deal with this asinine argument. The reason why Anakin's lightsaber didn't turn red in Revenge of the Sith. Actually, there's two reasons why. One reason,
wasn't invented yet.
the concept wasn't invented yet. That's a side part. But one, he didn't touch the crystal because in Soul's lightsaber, the crystal was jutting out of the lightsaber, so it was within grasp. Two, Anakin's lightsaber's fucking blue in episode 4. So how the fuck are you going to explain it turning red when we know it has to be blue? Do you think Luke's going to swing around a red lightsaber? Fuck no. Come on, think.
Vader's lightsaber's red.
Think for a second.
Aren't they the same person, Brian? Aren't they the same person?
Vader think for a second.
Duality rule too.
Vader's crystal's not even his. He steals it from a Jedi. It's in the comics.
Surprise there. Anyway, great moment. Really powerful, good shit. And Osha, who I didn't think they were going to switch, fully turned. Like, all in. With Khmer and the Sith,
she becomes the acolyte.
Does, and what I thought was really cool was, well, not cool, but it's I'm gonna say rule two because he gets killed again. Essentially, Venestra fucking kills Soul because she calls him a rogue Jedi and throws him under the bus, calling him killing a good memory of him. He did wrong shit, but it still isn't the truth. So. They kill him twice. It's like, ooh.
And you dirty. Can tell that the Republic Senate Council is just like.
Are you sure? Yeah,
are you sure?
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? But they believe it, and so do other Jedi. That's the other Jedi believe it too.
Unfortunately.
Man, I was like, that's super. Like, he's already dead. Kill him again another way. I was like, ooh.
Let's bury his legacy in the dirt.
Yeah, with those lightsabers on Tatooine too. just the rule of two again, May's memories are killed to protect her, we see later in a scene. And then Osha, then they give Soul like the Vader Viking treatment, like Luke give Vader,
Oh, just like burning him, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, just again, May's memory dies just like Soul's memory dies, is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, they kill the memory of Soul and then they kill the memory.
Knowing
like
full well the Jedi was going to use her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny. Someone pointed out, like, Khmer brings up, like, are you going to do the memory wipe thing? I'm like, oh, like, throwaway line comes back later. Oh, man. So good. And he does. He wipes her memory. She has, like, snippets. Later, Venestra has her. She's talking to her, and she's like, I don't remember this. And they pretty much just like, okay, we have you now,
It's like, why don't you help us find this person you can't remember anymore?
Yeah. And then, of course, great last shot with Khmer and Osha hand in hand. Sunset, right? Very Star Wars together. And of course, the creepy fuckers there too, watching them, probably getting off on it. Avengers style kind of ending, leading to the next thing. And I honestly, I thought it was the end. Right? I was like, oh, this is.
Oh, you thought that was the end.
I know, right? And then we like, a very Avengers style, we get one more thing. I'm like, what? And then, Vanessa comes out, green bitch to green bitch, as I've been saying, or seeing on the internet. She confronts this hairy fucking old puppet that she needs to talk to him.
But, dude, the fact that they used the puppet.
I don't think they need, for this time, I'm okay with them making it CGI. But, yeah, it's Master Yoda. He doesn't say anything. And it cuts there. And honestly, all the buildup leading up to that, I think it's all needed. It all works. And I loved hearing that that was season one. So I hope that's at the very least, despite the people making a lot of noise, we at least get a season two to, you know, confirm. That was, even if it's a flash forward, I would love that. You know what I'd love too? If it's a mix, it's like we go back even further and we still go far ahead. That would be pretty nice.
Hey, in that timeline, we're supposed to get a movie about the dawning of the Jedi.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. So that'll be really cool. Directed by the guy who did Logan. So I think it'll be good. James Mangold. I want to ask you, Brian. Anakin Skywalker was worthy of getting a Force ghost. Is Soul worthy of getting a Force ghost?
You know, I think he can get a voice. I mean, at this point in time, the Jedi don't exactly know how to be Force ghosts. Because it was kind of like hinted at, like Yoda was like the first one to kind of like figure it out with like the help of dead Qui-Gon in a sense. But I feel like for Soul, I wouldn't say full apparition, but I'd say like Rise of Skywalker style, you can get like a voice of him just kind of like in the ether. Maybe I think he gets that much, like nothing more. That's good enough.
Yes, sir.
One thing we didn't touch, I didn't touch on, that I kind of noticed. So the ending credits for this episode had a rendition of the chant that the Coven did in episode 3.
Yeah.
That sounded way cooler than the one we got in the episode. I am sorry. I said I was going to talk about moments that made me kind of go, and that was the moment that made me kind of go, because like I think they could have just done the chant in a different pitch or a different pace, because it literally sounded like sorority sisters doing a fucking hazing of like two kids. The power of one, the power of two, the power of many.
Also, if they chose like that too, to make you uncomfortable as well. Like, you're not going to take their side. We want you to be on Soul's side till later, right?
The thing is, it didn't make me... But it didn't make me uncomfortable in a sense where I was like, oh man, some wicked voodoo stuff's going on here. It made me uncomfortable in the fact like, oh, this is like some cringy TikTok bullshit.
What I wonder, it's probably not in there. But it would be interesting if like, but we wanted it kind of shrilly or whatever.
But we...
Or cringy.
But think of it, it wasn't even like shrilly. It was just like... some people trying to do a impression of like a Roman Catholic like chant. It's like, it's like the power of one, the power of two, the power of many. But like,
I think the Pope from Assassin's Creed has some issues with it.
But in the ending credits, we get this. I felt like it was a more eerier rendition of that, which I don't know why they didn't choose to do that one. Because if you go back and you like listen through the end credits, it transitions into the chant again, but it's way more eerier than it was in episode 3. So that just confused the fuck out of me. Well, I guess it's their ghosts.
They're not with it. Yeah,
it's their ghosts that are doing it.
It's not as lively or cringy because it's not real. They're dead.
I guess. But that was just one thing for me. It was just like, that's not gonna. Kind of it's not gonna age well.
It's like, okay. The show, I see what. But all in all, Brian, what do you think? As far as, I mean, we've had what from Disney Plus Star Wars originals. We've had Mandalorian seasons 1 through 3.
3.
We've had Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Clone Wars season 7.
Yeah.
Bad Batch. Am I forgetting anything else? I guess Jedi Adventures.
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Yep. Good memory there.
Obi-Wan,
which was one of the top watched ones.
The Tales of series and both what are they called? The anime animation.
Oh, Visions. Yeah.
Visions.
Man, Brian's a true fan. I forgot half of them. Big fan of
them. I didn't even finish season two of Visions.
Dude, I did. I thought it was, I love Visions. I don't care what anyone says.
That was good. I just forgot about it.
But yeah, where do you think it's, you put it kind of higher up or a little middle, low? Where does Acolyte rank for you? Or if you just want to give like out of 10 or a percentage, where's Acolyte for you?
So to preface this, I am putting Mandalorian as a whole. So I don't separate Mandalorian as to seasons 1, 2, and 3. I take it as a complete package. So with that being said, like honestly, as far as the Disney Plus shows go, like Acolyte's in my top 3.
I forgot Andor. Okay, anyway.
And Andor. But no, yeah, like Acolyte is safely in my top 3 as far as Disney Plus goes. Like I can make arguments here or there, like if I including the animation or if I'm separating animation and live action, you know, it can get muddled a little bit, but just like as of right now, like Acolyte is pretty high on it because I got to learn new things about Star Wars. I got to see things that used to be in like small snippets of canon or like not in canon now here in live action, which is really cool. And we got to see one of the, probably the coolest modern lightsaber fights that we've seen in the Disney Star Wars.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So what more can you ask for?
There's fire in space.
What about you, Joel? Where would you put this on your list?
Dude, it's hard for me because I, where I work, even the kids are like, you like this? You know, like I truly love all of it. You know, it, maybe not the Christmas special, but I think top 3 is fair because it's just so different, so fresh, and it's distant enough to be different and not be boggled down by the Skywalkers. You know, that's an essential part of Star Wars forever. I wanted something fresh and I got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still connected to the canon. It's forever going to be canon. And it's just well done, you know? I mean, we have, I think, like, kind of the darkness, a little bit of Andor, right? Still. But, but we still have, like, some of the epicness of, like, Ahsoka, Mandalorian, and Book of Boba Fett, etc., you know? And it's still its own thing at the same time, even though I'm comparing. It's its own thing. And I think we needed this perspective as well. Like, the truly, like, it's a dark side perspective, not just Anakin coming around eventually. It's almost opposite, right? Like, they start good, end up bad, in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it all comes around eventually, but yeah. I think I'd say top 3 or 4 for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I will say I do have nostalgia glasses for some of the other projects, you know, because like, you know,
oh, yeah,
we grew up in the prequel era. So Obi-Wan is obviously going to be special, even though it has some of its own, you know, troubles and faults. On the whole, it connects with us because that's what we grew up with. We grew up with Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen playing Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, those were our characters growing up.
You're saying Uncle Owen fighting like a light Sith wasn't for you? How dare you?
I mean, hey, Uncle Owen got some action. That's fucking wild. Who'd have thought?
Are you saying Vader pulling down a starship wasn't cool? Just kidding.
I mean, if Starkiller can do it. If Starkiller can do it, yeah, why can't Vader?
He ain't canon, though. No.
Not yet. No, he's not, because he'd be bullshit. He'd be broken as fuck.
He's in Acolyte season 5.
But yeah, all in all, I really enjoyed my time with Acolyte. I'm sad that it's over. I'm sad that we have to wait for what? Because, like, what? Is Skeleton Crew still coming out this year? They have done nothing to promote it.
I saw there's advertisements for, like, posters. People are getting all mad. I don't fucking
know. Are they going to, like, advertise it at D23?
All I know is my one fucking gripe with this thing is they keep doing like shorter episodes that are short. So it's 8, right? Okay, cool. 30 minutes, some of them, like, I guess it's expensive, right? Sure, but it's like, oh man, some of these other shows, 10 episodes, more than 40 minutes, like, ooh. I mean, it's short and sweet and good, but I'm just like, if sometimes just a little bit more, I think would have really brought it home.
That's like, I agree.
But yes, Skeleton Crew is supposed to be, I think, this year. It's like with Jude Law, right?
I think like in November, December, November? Apparently.
Yeah.
Like, I know they pushed it back, but I don't know. Hopefully we'll get more information at D23 next month about it.
I mean, I think we're also, I shouldn't say we, but I think some fans have ruined like knowing things early now just because it's so like it's just like, we'll just drop it, like, we're already now.
Set photos leak and
yeah, which
other information.
Cool, but also like the fan, I shouldn't even say fanfare. It's just getting your hands on like that early access information. I think that them going like iron tight is good and bad. Like, we can't get excited, right? But then like also like it's not spoiled. Like, I don't know.
It's a weird tightrope walk that we have to do and they have to do. Because, I mean, goddamn, I know that we're not talking about Deadpool, but motherfucker, they keep spoiling their own shit. I'm tired of it.
I heard that last trailer. It's like,
I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it. I don't care. Yeah. That's later. This has been Star Wars The Acolyte Review. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us live here on Twitch and YouTube. But of course, if you're watching or listening this later, we appreciate you. And if you would, please like, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you think about Star Wars The Acolyte, whether you loved it, whether you hate it, whether you're mixed about it. Let us know, because we want to have a respectful but nice conversation with you guys. We appreciate you being here and enjoying just talking about some nerdy ass shit like Star Wars. I guess, like I said before, we will be covering Deadpool next on reviews. We're just gonna have to figure out when we're gonna watch it, because it's not gonna be this week. We're gonna kind of figure that out.
You're probably gonna see it early, right? Or day of.
I don't know.
I'm probably gonna see it next Friday. I don't know if you can wait that long, but
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We have time.
We'll just do it Sunday. Come back Sunday, but we might be tired. Ugh.
You don't want to be tired for Deadpool, man.
I'm sure I would still be in awe, but you know what I mean? I wouldn't fully enjoy it. I'd be like, oh, Wolverine.
All right. We appreciate you guys. This will be the end of the live stream on YouTube, but people on Twitch, hang out for just a little bit longer, because we might play some Street Fighter 6 in a little bit.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. I thought we were done.
But yes. Thank you for watching United Nerd Reviews. We will see you next time. And of course, remember to forever and always keep on nerding.
Thanks for listening to. You rock wherever you listen.